You are listening to the Hodges Huddle, where we discuss all things in the wide world of sports. Here is your KLSU sports team.
Welcome into the Hodges Huddle. I'm your host, Andre Champagne, and today I'm joined by my great co-workers, Andon Brabham, and our newest reporter, Michael Poggi, making his debut on the pod, so we're pretty excited about that.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show, baby.
Welcome
to the show, Mike.
New kid on the block.
Yeah, come on. But before we get started, I just wanted to spend a second thanking all of those that helped support KLSU by donating last week for our fundraiser. We did reach our big goal of $30,000, and with our sports show, we totaled just over $1,500, breaking last year's record for our average. So we cannot thank all of those that helped enough. And we are also, what does that make us, Andon?
Three-peat, baby. Back to back to back, like Michael Jordan, yep. Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
We just don't stop. Well, you're more like Michael Jordan.
Or but. Now we can say... No, Kansas City didn't even three-peat. I'm trying to think. Kobe Bean Bryant.
We are in rare air here at KLSU. Three-time champs.
Come on. Three-time, and it could be more, but in our tenure.
Three-time.
We haven't lost since I've been here.
We haven't lost yet. And we don't intend to stop.
We don't intend to stop, but we really do appreciate all of your support. Obviously, we wouldn't be able to do all of this without it. So now we're going to hop straight into the topic of the LSU women's basketball team. They defeated Kentucky on Sunday to extend their win streak to 8 and counting. As at the time of recording, they will go on to face the winner between Arkansas and Auburn on Friday night. And the winner of that game will most likely play Ole Miss or Vanderbilt. So starting off, just with Angel Reese being a senior, she may declare for the draft. She's predicted as 7th, 6th in some of the mock drafts. But do you think she should come back and stay for another year?
You know, financially, from my point of view of it, it makes the most sense for her to stay another year. She's going to continue to make more money than she would in the WNBA, and it's going to bring a lot of press to other people surrounding her and on that team. So I think financially, it makes the best, you know, it's the best move for her to stay here at LSU. And depending on how things turn out in the tournament, that could also impact one of her decisions.
Yeah,
I mean, not even from a financial perspective. I think just from a basketball perspective, Angel Reese could benefit a lot from hanging around for one more year. If she can develop any semblance of a halfway consistent jump shot, if Angel Reese averaged almost 20 points this year, if you gave her a consistent 15-footer, mm-hmm. she'd average 25, close to 30. I think from a basketball perspective, as a scorer and as an all-around basketball player, she probably would benefit from hanging around for another year.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with both of y'all, but I'm going to tie both of those together. Mm-hmm. I think she should definitely come back financially because, obviously, look at the NIL deals that she has. Obviously, that doesn't go away once she signs pro, but obviously when you're in college, you can just keep building on it. Just keep building on it. And as far as the basketball, I think she should definitely stay for another offseason where she could improve her down low, just kind of game, her post game, where she really doesn't have much to her arsenal where she could really add a hesitation move maybe somewhere down there, work on footwork. I know Andon and I kind of talked a lot about footwork in the paint. And then maybe just, like we said, a jump shot. I think a jump shot. And not even like a crazy mid-range, but somewhere in the corner.
She doesn't even need to be like Sean Livingston.
Right.
Like she doesn't need to hit every mid-range.
It doesn't need to be 20, 23 feet. It needs to be 15 feet, 12 feet, something along those lines. You want to chime in?
I mean, so I just think defensively, she's improved already so much since her freshman year. And like you said, adding more game to her offensive abilities, because it's going to get harder in the WNBA. Yeah. It's not like she's going to be playing against college level. So it's going, you know, I think adding another move or another piece to her bag is going to be a lot more valuable for her than just going straight in.
I agree, but with it being SEC tournament week, LSU will have a double bye and face the winner of Arkansas and Auburn on Friday afternoon. Do you think that LSU breezes through those first two rounds?
I think they have every ability to. I think this team is starting to get hot at the right time.
Yep.
And like we've said, we said it on the Sunday show when we had Tyler Viso on. And by the way, thank you, Tyler, for coming on. Yep. I know you're going to be listening to this. But they're really starting to get hot at the right time, and this is the best starting five in the country, mm-hmm. bar none.
Yep.
And when they get hot and everybody can make shots, they are one of the most dangerous teams in the country. So I think that they should, just based on the amount of talent they have, because pound for pound, LSU is more talented than a lot of teams in the SEC. Yeah. Maybe everybody except South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they should advance pretty easily.
And I think LSU is more talented as far as starting lineup against South Carolina. I think it's just the depth that really kills you at the end of the day.
Viso talked about it on Sunday. You were winning that game for 3.5 quarters.
Yeah, and it felt like
more.
It,
you lost it in the final four when Angel Reese fouled out.
Exactly. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, no, I think it's extremely possible for the Tigers to just breeze through these first two games. But Ole Miss isn't going to be a team that you kind of just sleep on once you get past that first round game.
Yep.
And so I think, like you said, the depth of this team is a weak point.
Right.
And I think in March, that's where it's going to kind of creep up on you. And so a team like Ole Miss, don't be shocked if they get hot.
Yeah.
And it can – I'm a little bit worried about if this team is going to be one of those teams that they're already looking at the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
I'm worried that they're going to already just look ahead because they got to get through three games to get there. So it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and you make a good point because Kim Mulkey, after the Kentucky game, she told the media, we look like a team that thought we couldn't be beat. And so I think that could be a problem. But obviously, I think she's going to establish that this week in practice. But I could definitely see a team like Ole Miss going and catching this team off guard where they're playing really, really good basketball right now. And they were a team last year that sort of made a run in March Madness. So I think that I think, like Andon said, LSU has the ability to go and win the whole thing. But it's going to be, do you take the opponent seriously? And do you play your brand of basketball for 40 minutes? So who do you have as your final four teams in that SEC tournament, and who do you have in the championship winning it?
I mean, I got South Carolina, Ole Miss, LSU, and Tennessee as my final four. I got Tennessee upsetting Bama. But I personally, I think there's no reason why it shouldn't be South Carolina and LSU in the SEC championship. But guess what? It's March. It's not a random month in the year. It's the time where these teams are trying to get hot. And like you said, Ole Miss has gotten hot over the last couple weeks. They were originally a 5 seed like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they worked their way up, and they won a couple big games, and they got to the 3 seed.
Right.
And so now, you know, you don't want to catch a team like this when it's hot. And so I'm a little bit nervous for that, that sake, for the LSU standpoint. But other than that, I think those are the four, and I think that's...
I like that four. I actually have the same four. But what do you have, Anna?
Yeah, I only have one change to that four. I've got Carolina, Alabama, LSU, and Ole Miss. I have the top 4 seeds all going through.
Okay, cool.
Just because I think when you get to March, it really is just about who has more talent. Upsets can happen, but at the end of the day, especially in women's basketball, talent tends to shine through a little bit more and kind of carry you across that finish line just a little bit more. Whereas in men's basketball, it kind of is a little bit more of a team game. You rely less on stars and more on what your team philosophy is. And women's basketball is a little different. And I think those are probably the 4 most talented teams. I think that Alabama-Tennessee game, if Tennessee can beat the winner of Georgia and Kentucky, because both of those teams can cause you a problem as well. I think that's probably the best game of the tournament outside of the championship game.
Yep.
Just because those two teams hate each other, those two schools hate each other. So that should be a fun one. But yeah, I've got Alabama going through and finishing out that Final Four.
Okay, cool. I've got the same as Michael. I got Ole Miss, Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU. I really, as a dark horse, I feel like, and I do have South Carolina winning the whole thing, but I feel like Ole Miss might give LSU an upset. And Ole Miss is just, I don't know.
I'm not sure that that's a dark horse, though, because it's a 2-3 matchup. It's not like
Yeah, you're right. But I don't know. I definitely think they can catch him lacking. And we've seen Kim Mulkey talk about the SEC tournament. She doesn't mind losing early, right? Because they can regroup and get back to practice early for the NCAA tournament. But what do you expect on Sunday for seeding wise for this LSU team?
I think they'll hang around 4 seed. I think your performances late in the year might get you on the 3 line, but everything I've seen has them as a high 4 seed, and I'm kind of okay with that. I think that's where this team kind of deserves to be performance-wise, just because they've shown you that they can be good, but they haven't shown you that they can be consistently great. Good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that 4 line is actually a good spot for them, because they'll come underdog. In feeling disrespected. They'll come in feeling like they were, let down by the seeding committee. And I think they'll come in with a chip on their shoulder. And like we've said all year, mm-hmm. this is an LSU team that is much better when they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. Yeah.
And you know what? I think that's what this tournament's going to come down to, is if LSU is going to be able to make a run, that's going to up their seeding. And I have LSU going to the SEC championship game and defeating South Carolina in a revenge mm-hmm. game. And so I think that they're going to move up to a 2 or 3 seed yeah. after making that happen. But if, you know, going ahead of the tournament, I, like you said, a 3 or 4 yeah. is more realistic. But I genuinely think that this team is the most talented starting five in college basketball.
Yep.
And just don't let them get hot.
Yeah, I agree. If you let them get hot, they're gonna do what they did last year. But for me, I think right now they're the number 8 team in the AP poll. And so with that, I think I would see them as a 3 seed, a very high 3 seed, kind of like last year, if you look at it. But if they go and make that run, like you said, in the SEC championship game, maybe even just win 2 games, I think that they're probably a 2, like comfortably 100%. A 2. And I think that's a good seed for them, just because as far as comfortable, you don't have to play a great team
right.
until that round of 16. So moving forward to the men's side of college basketball, we sleep in May now, boys.
Oh, yes, we do.
We sleep in May.
I'm so excited. It's the best time of the year.
Best month.
Greatest month in sports history is March Madness, obviously. So I want you guys to give me your sleeper picks. I said 4. Mm-hmm. 4 sleeper picks, because obviously Final Four, but just give me 4 sleeper picks for March Madness, and maybe just who and why you think that, I guess.
Well, my first pick, which I think will be a pick all around the board, just because I love this man so much yeah. and I miss him so much, Will Wade and the McNeese State Cowboys. They are so dangerous because they do everything that LSU did well when he was here at LSU.
Yeah.
That 1-3-1 zone is deadly, and they do it so well. They're so good at turning teams over. They're good at slowing the game down and getting a bucket when it counts. I think McNeese State is one of the more dangerous teams. I think they will run through and win the Southland. They already won the regular season. And I think that they're yep. super dangerous because they'll probably be around that 12, 13, 11 seed range.
I think they're going to be an 11 and if they end up winning.
And that's the most dangerous yeah. spot for a team like that to be in mm-hmm. because you're just low enough to where somebody's not really paying attention to you. And the one thing you don't want to do at Will Wade is not pay attention to
him. Yeah.
100%. They're one of my teams that I have yep. going a far way. But my thing is Michigan State. Ooh. You let Michigan State in this tournament, they're making a run.
Blue blood.
Tom Izzo is getting this team.
He knows how to get it done, man.
He knows how to do it in this month, and he knows how to do it in this tournament. And this Michigan State team is not going to be a team you just, like, shy away from. Even though they've had a tough year in the Big Ten, they're starting yep. to get hot a little bit late, and they're winning. They're staying in games that people really weren't thinking they would. Mm-hmm. And you let them in this tournament, they're gonna yeah. win. They're gonna okay. win a couple games for sure.
This isn't really a sleeper pick for me. I'm so high on this Kentucky team. I've said this a few weeks ago with Jaden and Raven on the pod. I think their ability to score at such an elite level everywhere, and especially in that backcourt, will help them down the stretch, especially when they struggle to play defense. And usually in the tournament, 85 points easily wins you games. Like, I feel like teams miss a lot more when they're at neutral sites. It's just something weird about it. And if they can get better on defense, this team's gonna run March straight up. Like, You have Antonio Reeves. You have you have Rob Billingham.
Yes, who is a dog. If Reed we're being
Shepard.
Honest,
and then Shepard off the bench. Sorry, yeah.
Rob should have had a game winner against LSU, but the defense kind of let him down there.
Yeah.
But dude, that step back mid range he made was so deadly.
Yep. And he made more. He made so many buckets before that shot keep them in it.
For sure, he's just streaky. He's a streaky guy. And Reeves is more of that consistent guy. And that's why I'm saying, like, if one of them is off one night, somebody's going to pick up somebody's slack. Like we said, we saw Shepard hit 25 points off the bench before the season. So they're scoring. It's just going to be, can the big men play defense? And pretty much that.
For my second pick, I'm going to stay in the SEC. And you'll see a trend throughout this. March favors teams that are good at slowing the game down. And if there's one team that's really good at that, it's Mississippi State. And wow. I think that they are one of those teams that can really cause somebody problems because they will slow you down and grind you out. And if they score 80 points, they're probably going to win the basketball game just because they play such good defense.
Elite.
And they are so well-drilled and well-disciplined, which is really a trend I'm starting to see in SEC basketball. It's not this flashy run and gun up and down the court, 100 possession games. It's slow the game down, grind it out. We're going to take our time. We're going to shoot with less than 10 seconds on the shot clock. Joe Lunardi has him as a 9 seed right now in that Midwest regional where Purdue is the number one overall seed. If they can get past Texas, I think that Mississippi State can genuinely upset Purdue. I do.
I love that pick.
I love that pick. I really do. I'm going to stay in the SEC as well, and I think Auburn is the scariest team in this conference. I think they full roster is the most well-rounded team in this conference, and they're starting, you know, they've had a couple off games. Losing at home to Kentucky the way they did was not a good loss for them.
Yep.
But they've shown in so many games from time and time again what they can do and who they can compete with. And I think if you're a mid-major school or whatever and you see them, you're not going to like that at all. And I think that Auburn is really just going to come. I could see Auburn going to the Sweet 16 Elite Eight round.
Yeah, I like that pick too. Auburn, a lot of SEC teams I could really see just making runs because my second pick is the Florida Gators. I think this is another team that has just had the short hand of the stick when it comes to conference games and really close games. Lost one against Alabama that was really close. Also lost a really just bad game against Georgia.
Yeah.
Just like I said, they're streaky, but they're playing decent basketball right now. And I think, like Annan said, with the way that Mississippi State slows the game down, Florida does pretty much just that. And I think with the way that they play, it'll allow them to go far. So who's your third pick?
My third pick, Joe Lunardi has him as an 11 seed right now. It's the Indiana State Sycamores.
Ooh.
Because this is another team. This is another team that can slow the game down. They've got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robbie Avila, who went viral on social media after he dropped like 35. But that's another team that can just consistently win, and they give teams problems because they are so well-drilled, and they are so well-disciplined, and they don't put you on the free throw line. They don't give you open looks, and they're going to play hard the rest of the year. They're probably going to win the MVC. They're the number one seed right now in that conference, right ahead of Drake, who I also think is another good team that'll probably get an at-large bid in this tournament. But I think Indiana State can really cause some problems in this tournament for people.
I like it.
And my next pick, I'm going to go to the Western Coast Conference.
Okay.
There it is.
All right, there we go.
St. Mary's.
Oh, yes. Straight Shooters.
The number... There it is. Let me find it. Hold on. It was right here. I had it. The number 17 team in the net rankings so far. Okay. They're 23-7 in the West Coast. They're 9-0 on the road, and they're 1-3 in neutral site games. This team is not a team you want to mess with. They like you said about slowing the game down and making stuff happen, this St. Mary's team is going to be one of those, and they've got a coaching staff that can lead them far away, and I really like the St. Mary's team.
Yeah, I love that pick. I used to watch St. Mary's give Gonzaga all they had for years and years. And they would also win one or two games in the tournament usually like every year. But This year, it feels different. I don't know why. It just feels like now they're in the driver's seat in that conference.
I love them.
Now that Gonzaga just kind of dropped out of nowhere. It's so weird.
They're heating up.
They're heating up. Yeah. But for me, my third sleeper team, it's going to be Creighton. I think that they bring so much experience from last year back, and they know what it takes to get far into that second week of the tourney. We saw it last year. They beat Princeton, and I think they went on to lose one of those Final Four teams. But if they can get things done on that defensive end, it really just comes down to playing defense in March. That's what it comes down to. They're going to be well on their way to making it far again this year. So,
my fourth and final team is also out of the a West Coast team, but this team is out of the Mountain West. It's the New Mexico Lobos. Joe Lunardi has them as an 11 seed playing in a play-in game against Wake Forest. But Donovan Dent is one of my favorite guards to watch in all of college basketball. Okay. He's averaging 15-5, but he does so many things so well. And really it comes down to, do you have a guard who can score in March Madness?
Yep.
Because if you have a guy who can go out and give you 17, that puts you in good positions to win games. And Donovan Dent really does that for this Lobos team. They've kind of had a little bit of a slow run in the Mountain West. They're 9-7 in the conference, but they're 21-8 overall,
yep,
with some wins over some really solid teams around the country. So I've got them as my final sleeper for this year.
I love that.
And my last sleeper, I'm carrying back what you said, Andy, and I'm going with Willie the Kid and the McNeese State men's basketball team.
Bang, bang.
And I'm really just, I'm loving this team. I'm loving what they've done. He took a program that was in the bottom of the Southland Conference and brought him to the top in his first season.
Yeah.
And the Southland Conference is bottom three conference in college basketball, but when you have a coach like that and you have a team that has a mission, they have a chip on their shoulder, I'm telling you, if they play against a South Carolina team,
yeah,
that's a game where someone's bracket's getting ruined because McNeese State is winning that basketball game.
Joe Lunardi has McNeese as a 12 seed right now, taking on a team that you mentioned earlier, the 5th seeded Auburn Tigers.
Man,
which should be one of those
prime television.
That's one of those bangers that like you need to watch that game.
What I need to see is I actually saw shout out Peter Rodericus from the Reveille. I saw a tweet that he said Nate Oates versus Will Wade in the tournament would feed families.
Oh, man.
actually, it would, because that's kind of a rivalry between those two guys. Both a little hotheads. Love that. But
Scott Woodward, bring him back, please.
Man.
I love Matt McMahon. Don't get me wrong. LSU has exceeded a lot of people's expectations this year. But, man, I miss Will Wade so much.
I miss Willie the Kid, man. I miss him.
The general.
My fourth team that I will say for my sleeper team, it's going to be that Cinderella team. I'm going with the Richmond Spiders, man. They're really, really good basketball team right now. And I think if they're like really heating up. They just came off really big win against Dayton, who is, I think, the projected 3 seed right now. So they have a really good balance of guard play and down low play. They have a guard in Jordan King, averages 19 points a game. That's very, very good. And then Neil Quinn, as their center, has over 40 blocks this year. So I think that's very important, is that defense down low. Is when you come across a team that has a good big, you have a guy that can kind of play down to that, or up to that competition. And then you have the guard play. So I think Richmond is a team we got to watch out for. But When we do come back from break, we will be doing an entire March Madness podcast with our predictions, so be on the lookout for that.
And I'll leave you with one point, because there's always one. South Dakota State right now is the 16th seed in the South Regional playing Houston. There's always one 16 that gives a 1 seed a scare. Sometimes they get them. Look out for the Jackrabbits in March.
You like that? I
love it.
I think Houston's winning the whole thing, personally. But
really? Different episode.
But moving on really quickly, we're going to talk about the LSU baseball team. Coming off a 4-0 week in Texas, pretty much the Texas gauntlet, man.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Stars are bright, shining bright, or whatever.
The stars at night.
Stars at night.
Big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas. Love that song. defeated Rice, Texas, Little Brother, and Texas State. I'm not even mentioning who the third team.
UL Lafayette, for those that are unaware of Little Brother. Opelousas over here hates UL Lafayette.
Yeah, so that came behind an elite pitching performance from the entire staff, giving up only 12 runs on the weekend, which is pretty different to where you looked at them last year, early on in the year, and only 2 runs from starting pitchers at that. So that's really what gets you kind of thinking, wow, this staff is great. But we're going to get some takes on the SEC as a whole. But first of all, just for LSU in general, what do you think they need to improve on in the next weeks before SEC play?
Wait for Hayden Travinsky, Jared Jones, and Tommy White to get hot and find their swings. Because right now, this LSU team, the pitching is good. Mm-hmm. The lineup in general is good. You're just waiting on one or two guys to kind of get it. And right now is the time to not have it. Because I trust that a guy like Travinsky and Tommy White and Jared Jones will put good swings on it when we get to June. Mm-hmm. And that's all that really matters to me right now is where are you going to be come tournament time? And I know that this lineup will be where it is right now. So really, you're just playing the waiting game until those guys kind of get out of the slump.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I really think the main thing LSU needs to look at and focus on going into SEC play is just improving their consistency at the plate. And like you said, I mean, they're going to have guys like Tommy White, Hayden Travinsky. They're going to be streaky starting out the season, and that's fine with me. But when they get into SEC play, they're going to need to start hitting the bats like they're supposed to do, and Tommy White's going to have to start playing like Tommy White is supposed to play. And this past weekend really showed me that the consistency on the mound isn't going to be as big of a problem that I thought it might be.
Yep.
And the only thing that I'm really focused on is what that midweek starter is going to look like and what that bullpen is, how it's going to be in the midweek games and especially a Sunday game. Because those you never know, especially with bullpens dying down and getting tired.
I'll say this about the pitching consistency. Texas is a top 15 team with a great lineup, up and down, 1-9. UL Lafayette and Texas State are both incredibly dangerous, and both will
make the postseason.
Both
as well.
Top 10 in the mid-major rankings in college baseball. You face 3 really good lineups. Texas State beat Texas that same weekend as well, and UL Lafayette almost beat Vanderbilt. You played 3 really good teams, and all 3 of your starters went out and shoved.
Yeah,
straight up, they went out and shoved.
We finally saw a great game from Thatcher Hurd, too.
Who really needed
it.
And a lot of people wanted to jump on him for those 2 runs, but Braswell makes the play at shortstop. Thatcher Hurd goes 5 innings untouched.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big point to make. Like, man, these guys are going to be just fine when it comes down to SEC play. But for me, I just want to see the pitching roles, and that's just a relief, guys. I want to see who goes in as first guy? Who goes in as the second guy? Who can be that Riley Cooper guy at the end of the games where you need the closing opportunities? Also, just the Sunday guys, right?
I think you found your closer, though, man.
And I agree.
Justin Lohr as a lefty closer with his arm angle and his velocity.
Yep, I think he'll
dangerous, dude.
I think Gavin Guidry even still can make another case for himself again at the closing role. But for me, it's like you said, like you guys said, it's just finding the consistency at the plate right now, and I think it comes directly in right field. We saw Josh Pearson with a really good Sunday game and a not-so-great Friday game. I guess that's just going to happen early in the season, but I think you have to, like I kind of thought about it, and I think you have to leave Josh Pearson in the lineup. He's a lefty, and if he does get streaky, he's dangerous. But for Mac Bingham, he's going to have to find it, because if not, somebody else will go and take that spot. But who besides LSU do you think will stir up play in the SEC? Just give me one team for now.
Hogs. I watched Hagan Smith go and throw 18 strikeouts a couple weeks ago. I don't care who you're playing. If you could strike out 18 guys in a college baseball game, you're something serious. And he's been something serious for a couple years now. I think that this is the year where Arkansas fans are kind of lighting the fire under Dave Van Horn and being like, hey, man, it's time. You got to go get us one now. Because we've been waiting for years, and we've been the almost team for years now. It's time for them to go get one, and this is the year I think they can do it. The bats are starting to kind of come around. They've struggled to hit at the start of this year, but they're starting to come around to it, and that pitching staff is one of the best in the country.
Yep.
I 100% agree. Arkansas was going to be my pick as well, but I'm going to just give out Vanderbilt because I really like Vanderbilt. I really like what they've been showing. I really like their win against Texas. They had, you know, they've really been playing well, and they're not a program you mess with either. So
yeah. I'm actually going. I love the Arkansas and Vandy pick, but I'm going to go Texas A&M. A lot of people are sleeping on them this year, and their hitters so experienced this year. Brought in a really good transfer class with Montgomery coming in from Stanford. Another team I think that makes it like Anna said, interesting. It's Arkansas. Both of those teams are very unique and kind of comparing in their play. Very good pitching and just good enough bats. Like, it's so weird. And if you have the good enough bats and elite pitching staff, you're going to make Omaha.
I'd rather win a game 2-1 than 10-9.
Yep. And like we said, a lot of LSU teams last year won games, 11-9?
12-8, and 12-11.
You look at Texas, 6-3. You look at UL, that's 5-4. And then the Sunday games, that's when the bats are going to wake up, and that's where pitching staffs are kind of at their lowest for other opponents. You're going to get those runs. You had 19 hits on Sunday. Yeah. So give me your top four in the SEC for the end of the season. That's going to be the top four finish in the SEC.
Going into the SEC tournament?
1-4 seeds, I guess, going into the SEC tournament.
I think Arkansas will be my number one seed just on a weekend-to-weekend basis. I think they are one of the best teams in the country. My two seed will be Texas A&M. You said a lot of people are sleeping on them. I'm not. I think they're a great ball club, and I think they're capable of a lot of great things this season. I know we have a question later that Texas A&M might feature in as well. My third place team will be LSU. I think that they are good, but not necessarily great right now. Do I think they can be great? Absolutely. But I think there are some things that need to be sort of rounded out.
Right.
Like I said, waiting on those hitters to get hot. And my fourth seed will be Florida, just because I think Kevin O'Sullivan is always a guy you have to look out for.
Yep.
He's just so good, and he has his finger on the pulse of everything that's going on with his team and his pitchers and everything like that. And that's what makes Florida so good year in and year out.
Yeah, I think Arkansas is the best team in the SEC, hands down.
Yeah.
And I think right after that, there's a bunch of arguments that you can make.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have LSU as my number two team. I really think that people are just worried about the wrong stuff right now. And I have a lot of faith in Coach Johnson and what their plan is going into the later stage of the season. And I think SEC play is when we'll really start to figure out what this team is really made of. But as of right now, I'm going to keep them right there at that two spot. And then I got Florida at my three and then Vanderbilt at my four. And I have A&M kind of crawling right up there at the five. I just think that once we hit SEC play, we're really going to see the best conference in college baseball and everything kind of just shape together and see what these teams are actually made of so we can go to Omaha later.
Yeah, I've got Arkansas as the best team in the SEC this year. I think that's they have a favorable schedule, too. They don't have to go and face really two tough teams in the SEC East like LSU and Texas A&M do down the stretch. My second team, I'm going to go – I have it down as Florida, but I'm going to switch it, man. I think Tennessee is going to have a better year than Florida is. Tennessee,
Tony V, man.
Tennessee's got a balanced – if they can get the pitching down, their lineup is insane. You have the transfer from Clemson, Billy Amick. He's so good. Probably the best third baseman in the NCAA right now. And then I have A&M at three. And then I have LSU at four. I think both of those teams could go and win the whole thing. But like I said, it comes down to schedule. LSU has a brutal schedule in SEC play. But I think that's only going to make them better down the stretch. And you can go and lose games in the SEC. Like, you're going to be okay. The only thing you really need to do is win 20 SEC games. And after that, you're guaranteed host. And you can figure out the rest on your own.
Yeah.
But I guess that kind of leads into my next question. How many teams could you realistically see hosting a regional this year from the SEC?
There's 16 host sites. I'll say six. I think you could have as many as eight. You could have half of the field.
Yep.
I won't bore you with who those teams are.
Yeah.
But I think that there are definitely 6 to 8 teams that will all host a regional. Mm-hmm. And if they aren't, they are at the upper echelon of the two mm-hmm. seeds that yep. don't host. And I think that as far as top 8 seeds, the SEC is going to have at least 4.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, realistically, I have 7 or 8 teams hosting a regional. And that's just because of how deep I feel this conference is
yep.
and how it's – I think it may be deeper than it has been in the past this season.
Yeah.
And especially teams with – you know, Kentucky flying under the radar. Yeah. And I think they're going to be a team that hosts a regional. And I just think there's teams that people are overlooking right now and we'll see come later in the season.
So. Yeah, I think like 10. I think so I have 9 could realistically host. Obviously, we will never get 9 SEC hosts just because everybody plays each other. We're probably going to get 9 or 10 SEC teams that do make the NCAA tournament. But I think the way that that could work out, I think 9 teams could. I think,
absolutely.
Like, when you look at it top to bottom in the SEC, so much talent. But who's a team under the radar in the SEC that you could see heat up if they play consistent, especially in that postseason?
I'm going to Foley Field, Athens, Georgia, Wes Johnson, and okay. the Georgia Bulldogs. They're 10-1 right now, and I think that Wes Johnson is really going to get that program back moving in the right direction. They've kind of had a... They've been in murky waters the last couple of years, but mm-hmm. this is a team that can really be good and has the resources to be good. Georgia Athletics is very well funded, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And they have the resources right. to fund a good baseball team.
A very
I think
good
they
coach.
Got the right guy in Wes Johnson, who did a great job at LSU as the pitching coach for 1 year. I've got the Dogs being my under the radar team in the SEC.
Okay, cool.
I'm going back to the Wildcats from Kentucky. I think Nick Mignone has his team.
He's a great
that
coach.
That he likes to see. And this is, you know, he's got hitters this year. He's got Emilian Petre. He's had 12 RBIs already to start this season.
Wow.
And that goes with 15 hits on 43 at-bats, and he's starting in every game. And I think they've got guys that can hit the ball and stay consistent.
Yep.
Their main thing is going to be in the bullpen.
But yep.
I think if they stay healthy and stay consistent, that team is not going to be a team that you want to look over your shoulder.
I love
for sure.
I love these picks from both of y'all. Y'all have 2 SEC East teams. Let's add another one. I've got the South Carolina Gamecocks. That's a team where if South Carolina gets hot with the returners that they have from last year, and if they can pitch better, that's the thing. If they can pitch better this year, they're going to be solid, especially if they catch fire. But finally, give me your 8 teams for Omaha for the 2024 season. This should be fun. I like this.
In no particular order.
Yeah. Yeah, this is no order.
Arkansas, Texas A&M, LSU, Wake Forest, Duke,
jeez.
Oregon State.
Here comes the sleeper picks.
Here's my 2 sleeper picks, Dallas Baptist and Indiana State.
Okay, cool. I like that. I like that
I'm
topic.
I'm giving the Sycamore some love. Shout out.
Yeah.
That's twice today. Now I put Indiana yeah. State in the,
yeah,
in the sleepers category.
You're loving the Sycamores.
Terre Haute was bouncing last year for their regional.
That was pretty awesome.
I think that they can go and do it again, and this time even better than they did last year. I love Indiana State, and I love Dallas Baptist. I think that the rest of them are pretty explainable, but Dallas Baptist has one of the best lineups in the country, in my opinion. Just beat Alabama in come-from-behind fashion, who's been a really good team so far this year. I love the Patriots, and I love the 6. I'm giving them some love there in my top 8.
Okay.
I'm going Wake Forest, LSU, Oregon State, Arkansas, UVA, Virginia,
ooh,
Texas, TCU, and Florida.
Okay.
And the reason I have UVA in there is because they belong. They belong. And I think, you know, they're ranked top 15 right now to start the season. And I really do like what they have shown early in this season. It's, you know, it's really early. It's way too early. But I really do think that they have an opportunity to be in Omaha.
Okay. Annan and I had like the exact same 5 to start off. So I have.
I apologize.
No, you're good. That just means great minds think alike. And I have Arkansas. Obviously, I think this is the year for Arkansas.
Has to be.
Texas A&M. I think that's a team that'll end up playing hot at the end of the year. LSU is also a team where, like, once they figure things out, probably they're going to be great. Wake Forest, I'm putting them in there now just because of how great their pitching is. I could see them losing in like a super regional against a team like East Carolina, against a team like we said Duke. But I'm going to put Duke in there, and I'll put Duke / East Carolina. It's going to be one of those teams. I'm just booking it now. It'll be one of those teams. My sixth team is UC Santa Barbara. I love the way that they play. Then I have TCU and Tennessee. So I think Tennessee makes a return to Omaha again and doesn't do jack diddly squat again.
That's my favorite part about college basketball and college baseball, yeah, is that you get a school like UC Santa Barbara or Indiana State or McNeese State, like we talked about in college basketball, that can make a deep run. That is truly the beauty of the sport, because that can't really happen in a sport like football.
Yep.
That can only happen in a sport like basketball or baseball.
Yeah, where, I mean, it doesn't come down to talent. It comes down to who comes down, like who plays better that day. Yeah, it is true. But finally, to wrap things up, Andon.
This is my first time doing this segment this semester.
Yeah,
man.
I know. It's been a while. It's been a while.
I'm new to it.
And Michael is very new to it.
Is this your first?
It's time. It's time for the weekly Poo Poo Broussard Award. This award goes out to the worst performance of the week, whether that is a player, a team, a coach, or a fan base, or even whoever you may think it will be. We see Andon closing his notes. He already knows what he's about
ready
to say.
To roll.
So, I want to go with you first.
I think somebody might have the same one. I'm not looking at any screens or anything.
Okay.
I'm going to look directly at the camera for this. The Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I have them too.
You traded for a guy. Now, this is a twofold Poo Poo Broussard. Just let me have my moment. The Denver Broncos, you traded for a guy who was a notable locker room problem, who had people go through his agent to get his phone number as their teammate, and you decided to bring him into your organization when you could have drafted a quarterback like a CJ Stroud or Bryce Young or anybody with a bright future.
Will Levis.
You decided not to do that. You put all your eggs in the Russell Wilson basket. That failed because you gave him a head coach who couldn't stand him. To Russell Wilson, you forced your way out of Seattle. You went to Denver because it's where you wanted to go. And you got a head coach fired. You got Nathaniel Hackett fired. You did because you were dog water in Denver. I can't cuss on this podcast. You were terrible in your first year in Denver. And you got Nathaniel Hackett fired after 7 games. Then you got a head coach who wasn't going to put up with your crap anymore in Sean Payton, who has a track history as long as a CVS receipt of getting rid of players who are locker room problems, Brandon Cooks, Jimmy Graham, Junior Gillette, Jarius Bird. Need I say more? I'm a Saints fan if you couldn't tell. You thought you were going to stiff arm that guy. So your ass got benched for the last 2 games of the season, and now they cut you. To the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson, you two deserve each other, and I'm glad you both failed in your venture. You get my poo-poo Broussard this week. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm just going to add off of that. I mean, because I also have the entire Broncos organization.
The hell are you doing?
I agree. But Sean Payton plays into that, too, because it's like...
Sean Payton does deserve some
hate
some
because,
blame.
Because I mean, dude, he's too worried about ripping the bong out in Denver than getting a player that can actually go play football and football at a high level. Obviously, Russell Wilson, man, oh man. I guess I really don't know what to say.
I took the words out of your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, like you covered pretty much everything.
They both deserve.
They deserve each other. I'm happy it happened to both of them because. Yeah. Like we said, Sean Payton left New Orleans. He wanted an easy way out, and he sure as hell did not get the easy way out. He got a little punishment for taking the easy way out, as he's had to deal with Russell Wilson, who can be described as the middle child in moments, just a troublemaker, just not someone you really want to deal with, because I'm speaking for myself. I am the middle child. Broncos organization and Russell Wilson. Yeah,
and as they move towards the future, $85 million in dead cap that the Broncos are about
to eat. They can't use any of that,
over
right?
the next... Yep. Yeah, that's money that they cannot... Like, that's tied up in Russell Wilson and paying off his contract. $85 million over 2 years that you've got to eat. Ooh. Good luck with that. You're going to suck for the next couple of years because you put yourself in a bad situation. Yep. And you know what? Good on Seattle. Good on Seattle for finally getting rid of his ass and deciding, you know what, we'll move on to better things.
Pete Carroll didn't play that.
Oh, indeed not. Sean Payton wasn't going to play it either.
Nope. Yeah.
And I think Sean's got some time to figure stuff out. But for my poo-poo Broussard Award of the week, I'm going to the NBA. Huh? I'm going with the Golden State Warriors.
Ooh, this is a good one.
Absolutely getting embarrassed by the Boston Celtics with a score of 140-88.
They were playing on rookie mode.
You are a
disgrace.
Just a superstar team. Like you, like this team is not losing 140-88.
We're not talking about the Pistons here.
Yeah, no, we are talking about the Golden State Warriors with. With Draymond Green, Steph Curry, like
Clay,
Jonathan
Kuminga,
and they're starting to get healthy. And that's the thing, like you, with this team going into the second half of the season, your main thing is one, win games you can win. Celtics isn't really a game where it's like, yeah, we should win this one, but getting embarrassed on national television as Steve Kerr, I'm going into the locker room. And I am tearing every single one apart.
Dude, yeah. 52 points.
52 points is insane.
There are teams in college basketball who don't average 52 points a night in 40 minutes of basketball.
Giving up 140 points in an NBA game is so disgraceful, it's not even funny.
Yeah, and I don't know if y'all saw the...
can we do the math on that? 140 divided by 48. How many points per minute is that? That's...
Too many.
That's over 3 points a minute that they gave up.
It was so shocking to me watching that game and just seeing the final horrible. Score of it.
Yeah.
But they do have an opportunity to bounce back against the Bucks on Wednesday.
It's not going to happen.
So we'll see what they come up with. But that's my poo-poo Broussard.
Okay. I love all of those. But for today, that will... Just about do it for us. I want to say thanks to Andon, Brabham, and Michael Poggy for joining me today. Always a great time with all of you. And I'm your host, Andre Champagne, and this has been the Hodges Huddle.